B-Pod Studios.
Hi, this is Kevin Owens, and you're listening to the Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast with James Stewart and Mike Riley. Great name, Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast. So what does that mean? You guys aren't allowed to discuss if anything happens outside the ropes? What if somebody gets clotheslined over the top rope? Do you guys cover the Royal Rumble? These are questions I need answered. Anyway, you're listening to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with two geniuses who came up with this name.
My developing opinion on Sunday's pay-per-view, Survivor Series, this show with all these three-way matches could be a massive pig. Seven matches announced as we record this on Tuesday night. Five of the seven scheduled are going to be Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT, which on paper looks super cool, even if these matches have zero stakes, which is another problem. My concern, the overall execution of this show. With the exception of the first SmackDown, when the WWE roster was being held hostage in Saudi, this has been a terrible invasion angle. These brands are total chaos. They're 8 weeks-ish in, and they're still show jumping. So who's been the stable force on Raw, SmackDown, or NXT that I'm supposed to be loyal to on a singular brand? Two brands just had a trash draft, and the other, while I know many of the important names, is just too new to people to identify as the brand I'm going to cheer for. Who's a good guy? Who's a bad guy? What are the stakes here? I'm confused. And Raw at the TD Garden? Wow, what a Raw. But not in that way. The Raw show, a brand interfered in segment two, the Rollins-Andrade match, the Owens-Drew McIntyre match, and the main event. That's four run-ins, at least that I remember. That's too much. And by the way, Triple H is still talking to Kevin Owens about coming back to NXT. A brand, by the way, that Owens, I believe, wants to go back to, and WWE told him he couldn't go back to. Unless that's changed, and nobody's told him. Hi, Mike. Hi, Joe. I'm tired. I'm bitchy. How are you?
Yeah, Sam, James, been a long day, and it's good to be with you gentlemen here today as we get ready for the Survivor Series, which, James, I'm going to jump on what you were saying, so get ready to get the bleep button out too on this, because
please force a swear into your rant. Please do that.
Okay, all right, let's go. Because you know what, this is supposedly the second most, not second most, but it is the second oldest pay per view on the WWE calendar, right behind WrestleMania. The Survivor Series implemented or invented, whatever, established in 1987, and sure, at the time, a very unique show because it got everyone involved. The 87 up until, say, I don't know, 96, 95-ish, when you just had four pay-per-views. And, you know, a unique opportunity to put, you know, heels that you don't see all the time together and the faces and everything. It just kind of lost its edge. And a chance for WWE right here to capitalize. After you start a brand new TV contract with SmackDown to establish your audience to say who's who, what is everything, who should be rooting for here? Why should SmackDown be the best brand? And for Raw to capitalize on that, and NXT too, to have these invasions, which we saw in the Boston Raw, and not have any of these matches count. It is a waste. It doesn't make any sense. Who cares? I said this last year after the Survivor Series. It means absolutely nothing. The WWE has thrown in the towel for the remainder of 2019. They're already looking ahead toward the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania season come 2020. They don't care. They don't give a shit about us, the fans. They don't give a shit about the product of the Survivor Series. It's waste. It makes no sense to have these stupid matches that have no meaning to it. It's a joke.
Mike, here's the problem.
I don't even want to watch it. I don't even want to watch it.
Mike, here's the problem. They do care. This is a boardroom of people who have sat in a room who said this is good programming. That's the issue. That's the big issue. Joe, what do you have for an opening take?
Completely disagree with the both of you guys.
Excellent. Go, Joe. You have as much time as you need uninterrupted.
So just to... to Mike's point, maybe to the WWE fan that watches Monday Night Raw and SmackDown every week and doesn't get off their ass and watch NXT or AEW or any other promotion that's out there, they might think this is a shot in the face to WWE and being lazy. You might absolutely be right about that. We know about Vince McMahon and what he's doing with the XFL and things of that degree. But NXT has been the hottest thing going. You guys know it. Every single takeover that you watch week in and week out, once a month, those are the best shows that you'll see on the WWE brand. And now we're finally seeing it on a Monday Night Raw or on a SmackDown. 2 weeks ago when they had the Saudi Arabia issues, that might have been the greatest wrestling show I may have ever seen. Granted, that was on a plane, but to see Ciampa go up against The Miz or have Adam Cole come out or any other, Matt Riddle, seeing these guys on a national stage, like, they're deserving of it. We haven't even seen Velveteen Dream. Imagine if he was in, or some of the other guys that are injured yet. So I think what the Triple H is new blood. WWE has needed new blood. Now, Jimmy, to your point about the invasion angles, there are one too many. We're at Monday Night Raw, and there was just, there's going to be an invasion angle here. Oh, another invasion angle here. At one point, we didn't know who was a heel or who was a face. So that was definitely confusing to the typical WWE fan. But NXT, for me, I'm a loyal watcher. I watch that thing every single week. I know that those guys can get over. And when they're up, they do get over. Now, I know AJ Styles, that's exactly what he's doing right now. One of the best in the world is helping build up Carrillo and Street Profits. And that's probably a different storyline on its own. And you can like that or not. But NXT, that's the best thing going right now. Maybe instead of AEW. And I mentioned those takeovers. That's what AEW is now up against. Every single week, they need their show to be an NXT takeover. I don't know if they can consistently do that, but I'll tell you this. NXT has given WWE new blood. It's helped the ratings, and that SmackDown show, it proved a couple of weeks ago getting over 2 million viewers.
So the ratings for Raw the last 2 weeks have been the lowest non-holiday Raws.
Yeah, Joe, that's where I'm going to part ways with you on that, because it's very nice that the NXT is giving it the opportunity here on the main event stage. But, give us something why we should be rooting for NXT. Give us something why we should be rooting for Raw and SmackDown.
Triple H isn't enough?
No, it's not. I want like, if
Trump
NXT
isn't enough?
Again, I want...
isn't enough?
As a fan...
Finn Balor isn't enough?
Let me finish my sentence, please. As a fan, I want to have something here as a reward. Why this should be the best Survivor Series ever if NXT wins the Survivor Series. Hence, it is the Survivor Series if they win the tournament or something. Give us something that you throw into the Royal Rumble or a WrestleMania match, something. It means nothing. Who cares? Who gives a flaming you-know-what?
Kind of like if NXT wins, they get the call. Whatever surviving members get the call, the automatic call.
Actually, here's your stake. Here's your stake. The winner of, if they have an odd number of matches, which it's 5 of 7, are multi-person brand supremacy matches. Whoever wins the most matches gets the 30th entrant in the Royal Rumble match.
Okay.
That's your stake. That should be your stake. So NXT wins. Hunter gets to decide who the 30th entrant of the NXT brand is into the Royal Rumble match.
And here's another
one. That's your
one,
stake. So you can't promise them a WrestleMania main event. I don't think you can, but promise them the opportunity at a WrestleMania main event. Good stake.
And throw something else in too with the next month's tables, ladders, and chairs. They get to choose which match they want. I don't know, just something to parlay.
No, my Royal Rumble stake is fine. You don't have to piggyback off it and try and reword what I'm saying. You're good with
that.
Just leaving
Rumble
number 30, okay?
Okay, we're fine with that. But they have to do something because we have a freaking Patriots game on Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys, and then we got to force our way to watch the Survivor Series right after that, which we don't give a shit about because this pay-per-view is a joke right now. Who cares? And as James said, it really has everything, the writing on the wall, to be an absolute mess.
I just want to say, I think this is the invasion angle that they've always wanted. We always wanted that WCW angle. It never happened. They tried. It failed. ECW, same thing. NXT, I think they've played this right. I watch that thing every single week. When I saw Ciampa come out versus The Miz, That, like, I was licking chops.
That was good stuff. And I said, Joe, the exception to the rule was that SmackDown where the SmackDown roster was held hostage in Saudi Arabia. And that Daniel Bryan, Adam Cole match, I'll put that match against most matches this year. I think that thing was fabulous. And it proves what a premier worker Daniel Bryan is.
Imagine if we didn't have an invasion angle, there'd be nothing at stake, and it would be the same that we see week in and week out that we're tired of, and that's why we're going to other wrestling adventures, AEW, Ring of Honor. That's why we're going there, because WWE is so boring, and I think the NXT has at least spiced it up a little bit.
Nice to know that you need the Shane Douglas swerve and just swear just for the sake of swearing. Cool.
Yeah, sorry.
If WWE doesn't get held hostage, do we have this NXT invasion angle? Because it feels like this is something that was put together because they had to. This was a panic thing. And if you read everything online, the SmackDown stars got to, what was it, Buffalo? It was Albany, wherever. It was
Buffalo.
Buffalo, New York, 5 minutes before showtime. And so this invasion angle might have been an accident. But even if it was an accident and that great SmackDown show happened, the planning to get to this point, which again, on paper, all of these matches, they interest me. But then I go to the execution, how we got here, and I have so many questions about it. Just so many questions. Like, of the Lynch-Bailey-Baszler match, which on paper looks awesome, who's the great worker of that match?
Probably Bailey.
Joe? Hello? Is this thing on? Hello?
I was gonna say Becky Lynch.
And Becky Lynch, by the way, is gonna tie Ronda Rousey on Monday for the longest reigning Raw Women's Champion. Hmm. Is she a premier worker? Did she get over on her promos? Which, by the way, is a lacking thing in the company. And this is a whole another side thing. Like, Kevin Owens is on TV for like 30 minutes. Did he get a microphone once? No. That's your best promo guy in the company. And he had a fabulous match with Drew McIntyre, but you're letting Triple H put the crowd to sleep?
Yeah. And another interference. I mean, that was a great match, too. The McIntyre, Kevin Owens, as you touched on, the Rollins, Andrade. No need for the interference here. No need for it.
And by the way, I'm not falling for the banana in the tailpipe of this AJ Styles, Nakamura, Roderick Strong match. On paper...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We thought that AJ Styles and Nakamura was going to have the best match in the history of WWE in New Orleans at WrestleMania 34, and it wasn't.
And it's not even... So you just have there are only two matches that have a championship on the line. It's Adam Cole versus the winner of the Triple Threat, and then The Fiend versus Daniel Bryan. That's it.
So it's nothing three else. Now, because it'll be Brock versus Rey Mysterio for the WWE title as well.
Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
So there are eight matches. I missed the Adam Cole match. My fault. I'm angry. Yep. I'm bitchy. And yep. I'm glad that I could spread that misery to other people.
We know. Thank you. You're welcome. So it's
is Rey Mysterio going to beat Brock Lesnar? No. Is Daniel Bryan going to beat Bray Wyatt? No. And they're not going to take the title off of Adam Cole, I don't think.
No. They could. I mean, now, this is the chance to really make a splash here if they want to do that, to take it off Adam Cole. But if they're not going to have any incentive here for their Survivor Series this year or in the future, then this pay-per-view needs to be canceled.
Canceled a little strong, because they're not going to cancel pay-per-views.
Well, then figure something else out.
You're canceling Monday Night Raw because of appearance in attendance.
I feel bad for USA and Fox, who are spending billions of dollars on this product right now. And I hate doing shows like this, but this is just maddening.
Well, you were there last night. We were all there last night, and there were some good moments, right? And I think the match of the night was Owens, McIntyre, that was brought in with Triple H. And we didn't even know who the guys were, right?
Hang on, hang on. Triple H is still talking. Hang on, Joe. He's still not done.
Oh, cheap pop, Malden Ness, Killer Kowalski. Oh, cheap, another cheap pop, Boston Garden. Cheap pops all night long. We had
there are more cheap pops.
It went over. Incredible. Oh, and let's not forget Seth Rollins and his cheap pops as well. Listen, we love wrestling. We support it.
We love it
when it comes down. Last night was a subpar show.
Seth Rollins just praised Tom Brady, which he doesn't believe because he's a Chicago Bears fan.
Well, yeah. Okay. Fine.
What is it with WWE after every single go-home show? They just send everybody out from the locker room. It's all chaos. The announcers just yell. And it's, well, see you on Friday night for SmackDown. Like, that's the creative angle now for everybody? It's boring and it's getting old.
Well, I got an answer for you, Joe. It's called money, because they're showcasing everyone out there. They want to get them on the stage before the last before the pay-per-view this upcoming Sunday. That's all it's about. It's about money to showcase them there and to say that, hey, you're going to see these guys at the Survivor Series on Sunday. That's all it is. You're right. It's lazy.
Here's an interesting thing, because Triple H said the doors to NXT are open. They're open for all comers, Raw, SmackDown. So if Raw and SmackDown show up, you have all three brands on one show. They should draw, what, 2 million viewers, 3 million viewers, 4 million viewers? They should totally destroy AEW on Wednesday night, right? And if they don't, what does that say about the WWE product? Because if they put all of their major stars and head-to-head AEW beats them,
yeah.
Does that mean that Wednesday night wrestling just isn't a thing for the WWE fan? Or does that mean that WWE has what we would call conditioned viewership? They know to tune in on Monday night. They're now learning to tune in on Friday night again. And this is just, they don't want to watch wrestling on Wednesday night.
Good point. Sarge, I'll ask you this. If you were to bet, would you bet that Triple H forces himself into Survivor Series as part of the NXT team?
Ooh. Now that you mention that, yes, he will. He'll always find a way in to get an opportunity in the ring when he can. So, yes, I am on board for that to happen.
But so I'll ask you guys, do you think that NXT needs Triple H to be the face?
Nope.
Since they're displaying them every single night and beating the talent that WWE puts out there?
Well, for Triple H's, the whole storyline was him introducing NXT, and I think that's what it's all about here for the whole thing. So I'm okay with him being out there to introduce him every time, but to have him keep talking and ruin a match that was really good, that pisses me off.
Yeah, you know, NXT has a war game show on Saturday night that teams that are going to be going against each other might be teammates on Sunday.
Which is foolish.
Which is why Triple H is going to, let's see, let's look at the Survivor Series teams right here. Seth Rollins, he'll eat a pedigree. Drew McIntyre, he'll eat a pedigree. Kevin Owens, he'll eat a pedigree. Triple H might let Randy Orton give him the RKO. Ricochet will eat a pedigree. Roman Reigns will eat a pedigree because Hunter has to get his win back from WrestleMania 32 in Dallas, where he dropped the title. Mustafa Ali, no chance he beats Triple H. Oh, Braun Strowman. Oh, he'll definitely eat a pedigree, because you know who else pedigreed him? Seth Rollins a few months ago on a pay-per-view. Three curb stomps, a pedigree, and a clean pinfall. King Corbin, he'll probably run away. And, oh, Chad Gable, yeah, he'll eat a pedigree. So
Jordy G.
Team NXT just needs Triple H and Soul Survivor. We're good.
Yeah, he'll be on there, Joe.
Yeah, so much for helping the talent out. Beating AJ Styles and beating Daniel Bryan, they need Triple H. That's what's wrong with wrestling, if you ask me. They don't need the old-timers to put these guys over. They're doing it themselves.
This is Triple H wanting to work with his kids.
Yeah, that's all it is.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
And he just, he's not going to turn down an opportunity or, you know, give up a prime spotlight like that. He's going to definitely jump in there.
I mean, maybe he'll come out of retirement and beat CM Punk when he's the hottest act in the business again and then go back into retirement.
Mm.
Since you mentioned, maybe
at WrestleMania.
I was just going to mention that. But quickly, just to get the odds out of the way, you mentioned the triple threat match for the women. I thought this was interesting. Becky Lynch is plus 150. Shayna Baszler is the favorite at plus 110, Bayley plus 200.
So, again, this is great. I mean, that match is a really appealing match. But, again, I wish those titles were on the line or something here. Like, that would be awesome if Shayna Baszler, if she were to win, walk out with the NXT, the SmackDown, and the Raw title around her. How cool would that be? But it's not going to happen. We're just getting a match between the three of them. And it's a bragging rights. That's all it is. But as far as the odds go there, Joe, I could see that. In fact, now that it is a non-title, my money's on Shayna Baszler.
Well,
go ahead.
I think you would say that Shayna Baszler beats Bayley, right? Like, out of the three, nobody's predicting Bayley to win that one, which maybe makes her the perfect candidate to win that one.
On paper.
Yeah. And you have some sort of run-in where somebody helps Bayley win, and Bayley can run around on Fox being like, oh, I won the triple threat, blah, 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 blah. Because Becky doesn't need it, and Shayna's just a badass.
Shayna's, I don't think, ever lost. She's never lost, from what I know. 1, 2, 3 in the ring, I don't think so.
Kairi Sane beat her for the NXT Women's Championship.
That's right, she did.
Okay.
Well, Baszler's the baddest B in the NXT.
Well, she's kind of, she's like a Ronda Rousey Jr. here right now. That's what we're looking at. And I think that she would be the favorite here, like it says in the odds, and she probably will win on Sunday.
Brock Lesnar is minus 400 for Mysterio. I think
So in other words, Joe, if you want to win $100, you got to put 400 down.
Put 400 to win 100, correct? And then the SmackDown Championships, New Day plus 300, Undisputed Era plus 200 in the Raw. The Viking Kings are the big favorites there. How do you feel about them?
James and Joe, can you guys wake me up when that match is over? I don't care. I don't care about it.
At least they have good workers in that match. I think that. So what I think they should do with that, tag team tornado rules, let all six of them beat the hell out of each other for 20 minutes, elimination style. And, you know, this is an opportunity to either cement the Viking Raiders as a tag team that's as good as I think they are, or it's to give another win, another big and important win to New Day. And there's an argument to be made that New Day is the best tag team in WWE history.
And, yeah, they're the longest reigning tag team champs. You know, a lot of history on their side. So I hope they would have that opportunity to have the bragging right here. But it just, this match, again, does nothing for me. Sorry.
And just finally, there's the triple threat match. We already mentioned AJ Styles. See, I feel like Roderick Strong. Again, the AJ Styles Nakamura match in person was one of the worst I ever saw. Not as bad as Batista Triple H at WrestleMania. That was the worst I've ever seen in person, ever. But I think Roderick Strong might actually help Styles and Nakamura. And who knows, maybe Sami Zayn gets involved as well.
Mm.
And by the way, Team Raw is led by Charlotte Flair, and she'll win that one.
So Charlotte, Natty, Asuka,
Kairi Sane and Sarah Logan against Team SmackDown of Sasha Banks, Carmella, Dana Brooke, Lacey Evans, Nikki Cross versus Team NXT, which is TBA.
Mm. And Nikki Cross just got a contract extension, I believe.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so just going back to the SmackDown where, you know, the superstars were held over in Saudi Arabia. NXT has that chance. This has been a good month for NXT for showcasing purposes, and it really is. I think in the end, November will be known as NXT month here because they're getting all of this time at the Survivor Series and the War Games match, the pay-per-view rather. So this is all about NXT when the Survivor Series is said and done. And I would not be shocked. I know James made the comment there that, you know, Charlotte will win. I wouldn't be shocked if NXT comes away winning the whole thing here, because this thing is clearly has NXT written all over it.
Yeah. So name me the stars of the NXT women's division.
I can't. Just Shayna Baszler, that's it. But
yeah.
But they're going to find a way to, you know, have them win just about everything, because they're going to piggyback on Triple H and so forth.
Well, when it comes to the woman, like it was, but every single NXT woman was called up. So like they had to put the title on Baszler because she was just the best. I mean, everybody that she goes up against, she literally wins.
Yep.
You know, I know they're trying to push new talent, but
yeah.
You know, for me, like you are right. Like it's kind of hard to come up with. I know what they look like. Right? When I see them, right. I know who she is. You know, and then there was what's her name? Ember Moon for a period of time. And Asuka, like that, like the Asuka Ember Moon, since then, it's been all Baszler.
It's the four UFC horsewomen, and you can't name the last two. You can name Ronda, you can name Shayna, you can't name the other two.
No.
The hardcore of hardcore probably could, but just two things on these Survivor Series teams. Wouldn't it make sense for Asuka to turn on Team Raw and go back to NXT? And then you can get a dream match of Shayna Baszler versus Asuka. And if it happened already and I missed it, I apologize. But I don't think that match has happened yet. That would be good stuff. And then the Kevin Owens thing. Put Kevin Owens back on NXT. Let Kevin Owens have a microphone, do his own stuff, and just be a free-flowing talent and work within a system that is more apt for what he can do.
Put him in NXT. No, and that's very disappointing. You know, you're throwing away talent right there. Just an absolute waste. Not giving this guy an opportunity, and that's really disappointing.
I just looked into it. It was Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler versus Asuka and Kairi Sane. They fought at a Extreme Rules, if you remember that, back in 2018.
I do not. Good Google search. do you guys have any more Survivor Series thoughts?
I'm kind of cringing over this whole pay-per-view going into it. I really am. It's like, ugh.
I'm really excited, guys. I'm telling you.
I hope you're right.
I don't think people pay enough attention to NXT. Like, you guys have gone, right? WrestleMania weekends and stuff like that. The shows are outstanding. I don't know if will we get Gargano or is he hurt?
He's hurt. Sure. He's out. I mean, NXT War Games will be awesome.
Yeah.
Right? It should be awesome. I have questions as to how WWE is going to integrate that NXT in all these triple threat matches, and that's kind of my concern about Sunday's show. I think Daniel Bryan versus Bray Wyatt will be awesome. I think that'll be your clear cut match of the night.
I do think the promo from the Fiend was great. Bray Wyatt was great this week, trying to get Daniel Bryan to say yes. That I thought that was a great promo.
And that's a playoff of the mind control crap that they did when Daniel Bryan was part of the Wyatt family way back before he won the championship in New Orleans at WrestleMania 30. I think.
And you know what? And maybe, you know, sometimes I'm being very cynical here for this whole show coming up, but sometimes the ones that you're really down on are the best ones that produce a good product in the end. So maybe it will be a good show. Joe's being a cheerleader here. Jimmy, you seem like you're middle of the pack on this. I'm really down on it, so I hope I'm wrong, and I hope I do enjoy the show in the end.
I always say I want to like wrestling. I want to love wrestling. I have concerns over the execution of this. With that being said,
we can't criticize them for something that hasn't been finished yet.
I get people in trouble for things they haven't done all the time, Joe. I'm not a slave to the Felger and Maz commandments. I will get people in trouble. I will do future predictions. I will do anything because you know what? That's interesting. Having opinions is interesting. That's good stuff.
If you got on Sarge about something, you have to give him credit because they haven't had a Wednesday NXT yet. They haven't had SmackDown on Friday. I mean, hell, the 24/7 championship's being turned over to employees off hours. So it's like you got to give it more time before we get to Sunday night.
I'd rather be interesting and get somebody in trouble for something that hasn't happened yet. That's how I operate.
By the way, just on a side note, one of the funniest things I've heard all year was me getting James in trouble
when Keith Olbermann blocked him on Twitter for me doing that. He blocked me on Twitter. I'm sorry. That was the funniest thing I've heard in a long time.
It's okay. Good job, Mike, getting your spots in.
I'm sorry, James.
Favorite
bit of the year.
Well, let's do something positive. How's that?
I love it.
We're 30 minutes into this recording-ish. So let's do something positive. Favorite Survivor Series match or moment? Mine was the 1996 Survivor Series, and that show as a whole. The great match with the returning Bret Hart against Steve Austin. Sid wins the WWF Championship from Shawn Michaels. Undertaker versus Mankind was a good match on there. You had the debuts of Phil LaFon and Doug Furness to the WWF Tag Team Division, which never amounted to anything. And there was one major player who debuted that night on the main roster. His name was Blue Chipper, Rocky Maivia. That 1996 Survivor Series show, loaded show, very important show for the transition of the WWF into the Attitude Era.
So my favorite moment, and again, this was also a watch-along we did last year, it took me a long time to come around to this, was in 1991 at the Joe Louis Arena, was when Hulk Hogan dropped the championship to the very young Undertaker. And the Undertaker came in as undefeated at the time, beat Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair interferes, and, you know, he gets away with it. They have that rematch at Tuesday in Texas. But I really thought that was the beginning of a Hulk Hogan Ric Flair match that we never did really see on the television side for WWF. And it would have been happening at WrestleMania 8, but again, that did not happen. That whole card there, look at the roster. It was loaded. Bret Hart, the British Bulldog, Roddy Piper. Okay, throw Virgil in too. But they went up against Ted DiBiase, Flair, the Mountie, the Warlord was in there. You know, and then the Legion of Doom teamed up with the Big Boss Man. Just so many good, talented guys. But The Undertaker beating Hulk Hogan in 1991, again, at the time, I was really upset as a young kid for that, like seeing Hulk Hogan lose. But coming around to that, as The Undertaker is my favorite of all time now, really appreciated that moment there because we know the stellar career he went on to have. And Hulk Hogan, to put him over like that, that was a big thing at the time.
I'll make it quick, guys. The best moment was The Undertaker's introduction. No doubt about it, the Million Dollar Team, they were unveiling a new performer. It was The Undertaker, Gorilla Monsoon, Roddy Piper. Look at this guy. I mean, they sold it so well. He came in the ring right away, beat everybody up. Good thing he got disqualified, knocked out. But that moment, that was what put The Undertaker on the map with Brother Love. It's unforgettable, and when you see it, you remember watching it as a kid. So that's my moment. The best match, and this is kind of strange. I actually was linking back to that 96 one you mentioned, Jimmy. I do remember the Psycho Sid and the Austin match. That Austin match versus Bret Hart, that's when he kind of turned from the ringmaster. Remember he did a clover leaf in that match?
Yep.
And then dropped the million-dollar dream on Bret Hart.
Mm-hmm.
That was like that was actually like one of my favorite matches. But I'm going to kind of go fairly. Remember Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and Cena had a triple threat match? And I believe Michaels, like, super kicked Triple H right at the start. And, like, it was a great match. Cena was involved. Like, you just had a couple of the greats of their generations going at it in a triple threat. I really liked that. I forget what year that was. It's 08 or 09. But that was one of my favorite matches. Worst moment, though? Should we go there right now or no?
Go for it.
Go ahead.
The gobbledygooker was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. For weeks,
oh, yeah.
I was in school. What do you think is that? What do you think is the? What do you think it is? You know, I'm guessing. I'm starting to think it's other wrestlers. Like, you know, you know how we do dirt sheets. I was trying, you know, back then. I was wondering what the hell was in that egg, and it was the damn gobbledygooker. Out. Worst moment in Survivor Series history, possibly WWE history.
So both of those, Joe, happened. Your favorite moments are Undertaker's debut and the gobbledygooker at the 1991 in Hartford, Connecticut.
I'll give you a worst. In 2008, it was Triple H versus Vladimir Kozlov.
Oh,
God.
And what saved it was Vicky Guerrero created a Money in the Bank and brought Edge out to win the match. And the crowd went nuts and everybody thought it was going to be Jeff Hardy. But that was horrible. Triple H. I've seen you want to talk about Triple H matches in Boston? Because hang on. Yep, that's Triple H still talking about the TD Garden and moments. Triple H had two of the worst matches in TD Garden history. 2008 Survivor Series, he's fighting Vladimir Kozlov, which, you know, it brought the crowd way down so that they could be more excited when Edge cashed in his fictitious Money in the Bank contract and won the WWE Championship. The other one, the Royal Rumble in 2003. Scott Steiner, which took the crowd way down made the Chris Benoit Kurt Angle match that much better.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So there are your memories, Triple H, of wrestling in Boston.
And I'll tell you, like, the Survivor Series had some great ones. Remember the Rude's Brood and Roddy, was it Roddy Rowdy's?
Rowdy's Rowdy's, yep.
That was when Rick Rude had his pants. Remember? He had every member.
He had his.
On his pants.
He had his teammates airbrushed onto his tights.
There you go.
I'll give you my worst one. It was also, unfortunately, in Boston at the Boston Garden, 1993. The Bushwhackers and Men in a Mission dressed up as the Doinks. Oh, against Bam Bam Bigelow and Bastion Booger and the Head Shrinkers. What an embarrassing match.
Woof.
I remember Bruce Pritchard said in his podcast last year, that match went 10 minutes, 58 seconds too long. And, you know, it's too bad because looking at that being a homer, like really excited for that show, goes down as one of the worst pay-per-view events of all time on paper in the end. But definitely one of the most important ones was when Owen Hart officially turned heel that very night there. But that match was just brutal.
I'll tell you something, guys. Booger was my pick to win that match.
I like it.
Speaking of Triple H burying people, CM Punk is back in the wrestling landscape. He signed a deal with Fox. He is going to be part of their backstage show. In the short term, he's just doing an occasional appearance. But I still think he's wrestling at WrestleMania in Tampa this year. I don't know anything. This isn't an I believe moment. I just feel like the WWE's advance for WrestleMania in Tampa, and you guys are going, was so poor that they are going to get to March 1st, and they are going to look at CM Punk, who is part of their team, and they are going to break glass on CM Punk. They're going to have him and Triple H in a match. That would be about 6 years after the fact. So I have questions as to whether it would resonate. Would it bring people back? I'm not sure, because you'll remember they did Bret Hart and Vince McMahon at WrestleMania in Arizona, and that was 12 years after the fact. And I don't think that resonated like it should have in the immediate aftermath. But here's the other thing. Hunter's going to go over in that match, and maybe it's the main event of WrestleMania, because here's what's going to happen. Hunter's going to write CM Punk a check for $5 million. To make sure that Punk's shoulders hit the mat in the main event of WrestleMania, and Punk's going to laugh all the way to the bank.
It's going to be like a Saudi Arabia payday there for CM Punk, and that might be the last time you ever see him. Another comparison too, James, would be WrestleMania 19, Vince McMahon against Hulk Hogan, after, of course, the rival with the WCW and the NWO. But you're right, this was that Bret Hart, Vince one. Didn't really do much for me, a little too late. This one here, storytelling, now with CM Punk on television, a chance for him to tell his story as to why he left and really go after Triple H, get things going. I wouldn't be shocked if that happens as soon as, you're right around there, early March, whatever the February pay-per-view is going to be, Fastlane or whatnot, build that up there going into Tampa. But I think it'd be best for business. I really do. So I hope that does happen.
Joe, CM Punk's back. What do you think?
I thought the promo was outstanding the other night. Renee Young sold it well. Unless he's in the ring, guys, I don't think there's much to talk about here.
A few notes, and then, Joe, we have time for your five count, which is awesome. My belief is, and this is a very minor note, but it shows you that I know a little something about something. There was a report about Oney Larkin that he had requested a release that was incorrect. He asked for a pay raise, and my belief is he agreed to a new contract on Monday.
Very vocal.
Oh, wow.
He is very vocal on Twitter.
Yes, he's... Yeah. He's somebody who just wants to be paid the most money and do the least amount of work. As for Kelly Klein, who is the current Ring of Honor Women's Champion, know some of us like to work, Mike, and work for our money. That's on you if you don't. As for Kelly Klein, who is the current Ring of Honor Women's Champion, somebody told me her contract was up. I asked her directly on Twitter if she was still the Ring of Honor champion, the Women's Champion, and with Ring of Honor. That tweet went without response. If I had to make a prediction, her husband works for AEW. She might have a deal in her back pocket in AEW, and she might leave Ring of Honor high and dry. And yes, I am one of the few fleeting, not fleeting, I am one of the few people who still watches Ring of Honor.
It's not the most popular product right now, but good for you, James, to stay loyal to it. I give you credit.
I stay loyal to my brand.
Sure.
Joe. Five count. Hit me with it.
Let's go. Let's go.
All right, boys. Tony Khan. Randy Orton had some interesting things to say about him, calling him the Jacksonville Dixie. Yet Orton, I think, leveraged Khan, right, to get a new contract with WWE. Your thoughts on those comments?
Mike, go ahead.
Well, didn't he do something else, too, about Tony Khan's father, right? He said something with there was a picture, I thought. I don't know. I thought
okay,
I saw
so
that.
Here's how it all started, right?
Go ahead.
CM Punk put out a tweet November 18th, which would have been yesterday at 2:36. Quote, "It is weird trying to catch up on 5 years of wrestling. I'm doing what I can. There are bright spots, mostly women from what I can tell. There's bad too. I'm going to talk about it, and no one is safe. Join us." He tags Renee Young. He tags WWE on Fox, Booker T, Paige, Vince McMahon, and Tony Khan. Tony Khan replies, "No one is safe, question mark. Sounds like a plane full of wrestlers in Saudi Arabia."
No.
Here comes Randy Orton over the top rope. "What's this whole thing about glass houses and stones?" And he pulls a TMZ story about the Jaguars owner, Tony Khan's dad, being investigated for corruption, which was proven false, by the way.
And whose hand is he shaking?
He's shaking Robert Kraft's hand. We can't talk about that. So Tony Khan replies, "I thought you only tagged me in your post when you were gasping for leverage. That article's a year plus old and is baseless claims made about my dad years ago. That's the best you can do? Nothing. Meanwhile, in the time since that was written, you used the N-word on Twitter." And by the way, Jim Cornette's getting torched for his racist comments on the NWA show. Randy Orton has gone untouched, seemingly. So Randy Orton replies, "Jacksonville Dixie, why else would I tag you? If I wanted to talk business, I'd call your father." And then a kissy face emoji. Now, here's who else gets involved. Brandi Rhodes, who isn't exactly a favorite of mine, not from the relationship, but she seems like a very entitled, powerful person with no reason to be because she married into the Rhodes family. She did a puncher knockout emoji, GIF, I'm sorry, and then Charlotte Flair chimes in with the eye roll emoji. So there's this whole Twitter beef thing going on that maybe I've been wrong about this whole AEW WWE war thing. Maybe there's a lot more there than I've been able to comprehend and understand.
So just a brief correction, Randy Orton's call for language. If you're trying to look it up, Jimmy said on Twitter, it was actually on Twitch.
Twitch.
So you can't go search his thing there for the N-word. But yeah, it's definitely he leveraged him there for the contract. And it's just a world war. So I wouldn't be surprised if this happens more often than we thought would happen here on out, because these guys are not holding back, and maybe they're being fed from behind the scenes. Hey, let's go after them a little bit here, just to keep things alive, if you know what I mean.
This is stuff you can only get on the five count on Wrestling Inside the Ropes. Moving on, the Inner Circle versus other factions. Do you guys have any other comparisons?
NWO?
Yeah, I don't think so.
So I think the Inner Circle is too young to identify them and compare them to somebody.
Well, just NWO, I think, off the bat, no. Because there were two outsiders and then Hulk Hogan. Like, we all knew who they were.
They were also long-time established. Like, Hulk Hogan's the greatest money draw in the 80s.
Well,
and Hall and Nash were WWE stars even in a down period. I think with Jericho, he's a long-time standing star, and I compare him to Terry Funk with all the places that he's been and all the success that he's had, and he's working with a bunch of younger guys who we're still kind of learning about. LAX, Impact Wrestling guys. Sammy, who I called a tomato can against Cody for the opening night of AEW. He looks like he's got some talent. The artist formerly known as Jack Swagger, who's being rebranded as this tough UFC MMA style fighter, which is how he probably should have been promoted. So at the moment, and this is a horrible cop-out answer, I don't think we can compare the Inner Circle to anybody because they don't have enough resume to compare to anybody.
Well, the only reason
I hate that answer, by the way. It's a disgusting answer, but it's how I feel.
But it is fair, though. It's a fair point. The only reason I blurted out the NWO was because of all the actions they've done, simply like the NWO, being the wise guys there. They don't care about it, showing them that they're in charge. And, you know, with the last pay-per-view, that was pretty much about the Inner Circle there. So they're establishing themselves. Again, to James's point, it is pretty tough to, you know, compare them to other guys right now, but the NWO comes first to me because of their actions, not in the ring, but outside the ring.
Only reason why, the only thing I could come up with, and just tell me I'm dead wrong, the Shield. The Shield came from NXT when they made their appearance. Was that like near Survivor Series? Whatever. When they made
it was at Survivor Series. It was helping out CM Punk in a match.
There you go. Right. Boom. Perfect timing. We didn't know who they were. We knew who they were because of NXT, but who really watched? You know what I'm saying? They were like, it wasn't on the network, you know, barely on the network. But the reason why I say it is that was something that WWE created. Now, this is what AEW is creating, but it's Chris Jericho as the front man. The promos that they're making, like, he is putting them all over. And I think they all will eventually, like, be big time players on AEW. And now look at what's happening with the three of the Shield. You got Mox there. Roman Reigns has been at the top, and Seth Rollins continues to be. So that's one. But there was never more than three, and that's maybe why Mike's going with the NW angle, because there was just so many more.
Joe, I'll give you a very loose comparison as I kind of Googled wrestling factions: the Dangerous Alliance. LAX could be comparable to Zbyszko and Anderson, or Anderson and Bobby Eaton. I think Jericho is a better performer than Rick Rude, but Rick Rude at the time, I think, was a former WCW champion. And then Steve Austin is the younger gun in the group.
If I asked, like, you know how they had...
Very loose comparison. I don't even know if I love it, but I'm just trying to have an opinion.
This goes into my next question. They had Medusa in the Dangerous Alliance at one point.
They did.
Do you think Inner Circle will get a female? And this is the third question here. Scarlett Bordeaux now going to sign with WWE. Can AEW, what can they do to improve their women's division? And I'll say put a woman in the Inner Circle.
Yeah, you just hit the nail on the head, Joe. That's the best way to put someone over there, showcase them, have the Inner Circle in your corner, put a woman in there. And, yeah, that's a pretty darn good thing right there to hopefully gain that attraction.
Tessa Blanchard. That's how AEW improves their women's division. Tessa Blanchard. And she's probably going to win the Impact World title, and she's probably got six to 12 months left on her contract, I guess. So that's the play, is they have to get Tessa Blanchard, or they have to get somebody like Alexa Bliss from WWE.
Ooh.
And the reason why I say Alexa Bliss is at StarCast on Full Gear Weekend, Brandi Rhodes mentioned Alexa Bliss. And what a great performer she was, and played her music, which, because of Brandy's position, I could see as somebody filing legal papers for tampering. But if AEW were to get an Alexa Bliss, that would change the course of the women's division. But I think Tessa Blanchard is the name that changes that division overall. If they can't have somebody from WWE,
you guys want more name and yay or nay?
I was going to also say another one. If he can, I know she's under Impact mainly, but Tennille Dashwood too. She has wrestled with AEW before, but just give her a main spotlight there in AEW.
I was going to say AJ Lee.
Oh, sure.
AJ Lee.
So it kind of be like a John Moxley, Renee Young, where you're flipping it to CM Punk to AJ Lee. CM Punk under WWE, of course.
To save that women's division, it pours.
Before we transition to the next question, Joe, there is an interesting little nugget. So CM Punk has teased... Actually, I don't know that that's public. I'll take that back.
Well, you can't say it now, so go ahead.
Yeah, I'm backtracking because I'll make another comparison. Come on. So Jim Ross was under an AEW contract, and he went because Fox wanted him to apply for the WWE on Fox backstage show. So if Fox is okay with having somebody who's under an AEW contract try out, who's to say that CM Punk couldn't go wrestle for AEW as a Fox commentator because he's under a Fox contract?
Whoa.
Because Fox didn't care that Jim Ross was working for a different company.
Fox wants CM Punk, not WWE.
Exactly. Because they have Survivor Series in Chicago. And you know who should show up in Chicago? Because they're going to be chanting his name for four consecutive nights. Yes. Is CM Punk.
Right. Right.
So you have him show up on SmackDown, you get it out of the way, and then it's over and done with. But they won't do that because they don't want, they being Hunter, I assume, doesn't want CM Punk in that room, in my opinion.
And CM Punk's name is, I mean, even at the Boston Raw, right? Is that what you're going to say, Joe?
Yeah.
Get a lot, yeah. His name was everywhere. So that would be a perfect scenario right there. And if you don't, you're throwing a great opportunity away.
Just two more guys to get you out of here. You guys had an epic just call of the AEW Mox and Omega fight. WWE is considering a dog collar match.
Why?
Those things are terrible.
Yeah, why? Yes. It's almost like the thing on the stick, whatever the hell they call that thing with the big boss man, Al Snow. Like, come on.
Oh, the pole matches? No. The dog collar is...
I know, but it's almost as bad as that.
And the chain, and it's not the 80s. This isn't Greg Valentine and Rowdy Piper. Like this, it's an outdated concept.
I remember Saturn was in one, right?
Him and Jericho had a match that was a dog collar match, but just whipping people with chains just isn't, not WWE. Remember, they're a publicly traded company. They're a PG wannabe company.
Mm. The latest rumor is this will happen at TLC. Ugh. And it could involve Shinsuke Nakamura.
Why? Like, put it on, if you're going to do a dog collar match for WWE, put it on like a Braun Strowman or another big guy, Drew McIntyre. I don't know, someone big. Why Shinsuke Nakamura? That's stupid. Put it on a big guy. That's what I would do.
Braun Strowman?
Yeah, that's what I just said. Yeah, Braun Strowman or Drew McIntyre, something like that, just an example.
Kevin Owens, Drew McIntyre?
I'd be fine with that. But again, I don't want this match. Stupid.
It's an outdated concept. Doesn't work.
Yeah.
Okay, and I don't know if they're trying to match the mock.
That's what they're doing. They're recycling crap, and it's not working. Invasion, the Survivor Series, it's a waste.
You know who we blame for that, right?
Vince.
Bruce.
Ah.
Brother Bruce. Sorry. Finally, who is your early dark horse to win the Royal Rumble?
Men or male or female?
Both.
Female? I'm going to say Ronda Rousey. I think that she's going to be a surprise entrant, and I think that that will set up the rematch with Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey. For the men's side, I got to think about that. James, go ahead.
Ronda Rousey on the women's side. I'm disappointed to agree with Mike. On the men's side, and this is something that I want to talk about on a future episode, John Cena.
Ooh. Okay. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns, you know?
I mean, how many times can Baron Corbin win something and get away with it?
Right.
Right?
Right.
And at some point, like...
I like the John Cena theory, though.
I mean, you're right. You're right. I mean, it's only good for the simple fact that he said he wants to come back for Mania, right?
Yeah.
Well, if he wins that, he can sit out and doesn't have to show up until then or just do promos.
Well, you know what? Okay. If they really want to ride off in the CM Punk situation here, have him win the Royal Rumble. That would be awesome.
What about Triple H winning the Royal Rumble?
No.
And then
no. CM
Punk?
No. No, no, no. It'd be too much of a story to tell. He'll get booed. No. Can't do it.
We'll continue.
So, yeah.
So the question that I want to ask on a future podcast as we wrap up here is, John Cena, one, should he go for the 17th World Championship? And two, will it be a draw going forward? We'll talk about that in future episodes. Mike and I will be back for a post-Survivor Series podcast where hopefully it will be more positive than this week's. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For Joe Murray at Joey Murr of the Over Under 98.5 podcast, the most successful podcast in the Beasley Media Group. He is Mike Riley at Sarge985. The show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at I am James Stewart, and I am going to bed, gentlemen. See you after Survivor Series.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.